scene. 2 weeks ago, we began this series, except for the fact that there was many different factors, COVID in my family, and other stuff. So we did it online, so I don't know if you were able to watch that and catch up on it. We went through Psalm 119. We actually started the first part of the series, the first 8 verses. Last week, I was all ready to go. Had this the sermon ready to go last Wednesday, and then I had COVID. So I appreciated John's filling in last week. So we're going to continue this series today. In case you didn't happen to be able to see that video or couldn't see that video, we're going to be going through this chapter, Psalm 119. As much as I wanted to continue going through the Psalm of Ascent, and someday I will, I also realized Pastor Dean had recently just gone through all that. In fact, I think it was one of the last series he did here. And so rather than have you hearing that again so soon, although it's still good, God's Word is always wonderful to hear, I figured to switch gears a little. And so as we're going through Psalm 119, of course, I hope you can see with me, it's broken down in 8 verses at a section. Each section deals with one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so we've already started with the letter Aleph. Now, I'm assuming I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know Hebrew, so if I'm pronouncing it wrong, you can tell me later. Tonight's, I think this one is Beth. I think that's how we pronounce it, but I'm probably wrong, all right? But we're looking at the second 8 verses. It's verses 9 through 16. So let's begin as we're going to read these verses. And as we go through it, we'll start to speak a little bit on this. So Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." As we look through this chapter, we're going to constantly be reminded of the importance of God's word. You might, after a few weeks, go, "Boy, it's sounding repetitive." And in some ways, it should and it will, because we're constantly going to be going back and seeing the value of God's word. It's something that we should grow to love, something that we should desire to be in it. It shapes and molds us. We're going to see at times it's going to deal with instructions. Sometimes we're going to talk about the joys of seeking Scripture or of other such things. It's going to tell us about just the wonderfulness of it and the praising of God's Word. Tonight, though, is more in line with instructions. In fact, it could be viewed as either a young person who is seeking answers and going to God's Word, or it could be an older man who is addressing a younger man. Whatever the case is, there are instructions that are pertinent to living a certain way. And so first I want us to look at, as we go through these verses tonight, notice the concern of the psalmist. In verses 9 through 11, we're going to see his concern. It starts with this question about purity in verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" In reality, we could say that this phrase is really the main point of this whole passage about purity. How it specifically addresses a young man, but really it could be anybody. How does anybody keep their way pure? The reason the young man should really resonate for us is, as you picture a young man, you should immediately picture somebody full of energy, somebody full of passion, somebody perhaps who lacks knowledge and judgment. They often act on impulse, and they're excited and energetic, but they're not always thinking. That's the kind of image I think of when a young man. And of course, as a result of that, it's saying, here's somebody, it could really be anybody, but we're going to talk about, most likely, who struggles the most with remaining pure. Who struggles the most to live a holy life? And so he's addressing a young man you would fit who we'd say struggles the most. And that's why it's relevant for all of us. Whether you struggle with walking the walk, living a holy life or not, I would wager we all struggle to some extent. The psalmist's first concern then is, how do you live a holy life? If we recall what happened in the first stanza of chapter 19, the previous stanza, the psalmist, he dealt with someone who had struggled with sin. You could look back and read it, and he's talking about, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Lord. Verse 3, they do no wrong. But if you see in verse 5, he says, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. You saw somebody who is struggling with sin. They are having that struggle. They say it's part of who I am. And then at the end, we see really, here's a man in verse 8, and he says, I will keep your statutes. He has repented of his sin, and he longs to do right. He's moving forward in his walk with the Lord. And so we get down to verse 9, and he's saying, but how? I've sinned. I'm right with you, God. Now, how do I keep walking this walk? How do I remain pure? How do I continue to live right? Friends, that is a noble concern. Here's a Christian that wants to do right. How do I do this? He's starting, perhaps, I believe personally, that this is probably somebody who considered themselves a young man. He's saying, how can I, a young man, stay right? How can I do this? And so he's starting with a good desire, but it's not an easy task. He's like, I've already sinned. I'm probably going to do it again. How do I remain pure? He asked another question. And there's another concern. His first concern was in verse 9. How do I remain pure? In verse 10, he has another concern. He says, the second part of verse 10, let me not wander from your commandments. He has a concern that about being pure. Then his concern is, how am I going to not wander towards sinful desires? When God in your word, you say, don't do this, or walk this way, what's going to keep me from going, oh, this looks like fun? What's going to keep me from doing that that my flesh wants to do? It's like the song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the life I love. Is that the right words? Either way, I wrote it from my head. Prone to leave the God I love. Thank you. Krista corrects me in my words all the time. All right, I'm constantly singing the wrong words of songs, and she knows it. She's like, yeah, that's right. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're prone, aren't we? That's our tendency. It's a temptation to, like, I'm going to take one more look. I'm going to see one more video. I'm going to give into this temptation just one more time. It's my belief that we all have certain sins. We all have sins that we constantly fall into and going, why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep dealing with this? And there are certain sins we fear and say, I can easily fall right back into this. In my own life, I have sinned many times in my temper, in my anger, and it's always right there. It can so easily come out, and it's always a concern, is that going to come back out again? But there's another concern, not only about wandering away. In verse 11, we see a third concern. He says, I've stored up your word in my heart. Notice that I might not sin against you. He has a concern not only that I don't live pure, that I wander, but then his third concern is, what if I sin against you, God? I'm going to deliberately sin. And so he recognizes that he has this great desire not to sin against God. You know, many times we're often only concerned of, as long as I don't sin against my friend, my coworker. And we don't always think about, what about I'm sinning against God? He's talking in his private life. Hey, he's talking about when nobody else knows. Because we often justify our sins, you know, it doesn't affect anybody else. No one else sees, no one else knows. And he's saying, God, even when no one else knows, it's still sin against you. His concern is, what if I fall into that trap that I'm okay with sinning against God? Now, we understand every sin is a sin against God. But we should be just as concerned about sins that others notice as well as about the sins that no one sees. So what's the answer? What is the psalmist, what has he found to be the answer? So let's go back for each of these verses. I'll go back to verse 9. What is the answer that he finds for purity? He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And the first thing we see is regarding purity is we need to obey. His concern for purity, the answer is obedience. The word guard, protect, is really, we are to, as a, we guard or protect the word of God in our lives. Really, it's the idea that as a result, the word of God performs guard duty or it acts as a sentinel in your own life and to keep you from sin. And when you think of a guard, there's a safe place. It's saying we keep God's word safely in our life. And while we're keeping it, it is protecting us. It keeps us safe from impure thoughts and actions. As I guard my life by the word of God guards me. So you hide that, okay? You keep that, you guard it, and it guards you. Spurgeon said it this way. He said, young man, the Bible must be your chart, and you must exercise great watchfulness that your way may be according to its direction. It's like a map. Oh, really, the words take heed to it. It means the Bible does no good for you if you aren't looking at it closely. If you're not paying attention to it, it does you no good. Several months back, I went through our church website. This is relevant for today. I've already told you this. I went through our church website, and I looked back at every sermon that Pastor Chambers had done. And I took every single sermon he did. I put it in Excel. I put the title of it, the topic of it, the passage of it, and I documented everything because I have my own list of planned or possible, should I say, sermon series that I would like to do and that I pray about and go, okay, let's do here. Well, wouldn't you know it, 2 weeks back or a couple weeks back, I get in there and I'm like, you know, I really want to do the Psalms of Ascent. I really think this is right. And so I did that sermon and I got a text that night and said, Pastor, you know, Dean Chambers did that. I'm like, no, I charted all this. I go back to my computer and sure enough, I had charted it. I had marked it. But when I went to start a new sermon series, I never went back and looked. Had this been done or when was it done? It did me no good. It was worthless to me because I never referenced it. You know, God's word is a wonderful value to you. It is. Nobody here, nobody in this church that I know of would ever say there's no value in God's word. Everybody would say, yes, it's wonderful. It's great. And then how many of us outside of church, we never open it? Or if it's on your phone, we never look at it on the phone. It does us no good. There's no value unless we follow it closely. And so he says the first way for dealing with how do I remain pure? It says you got to treasure his word. You got to know it. You got to spend time with it. You need to guard it, protect it. And as a result, it protects you. Secondly, how do we deal with wandering? He says, let me not wander from your commandments. But the answer was before it in verse 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. It presents the most crucial aspect here in verses 10 and 11 to remain holy and pure because now he's referencing the inner man. As we are guarding God's word in our lives in verse 9, we need to seek the one who gave us the word in verse 10. He's saying, if you want his word, you need to look for God. Seek after him. It's not a minimal effort. Notice it says in verse 7, with my whole heart, with who I am completely. to avoid the risk of wandering away, we must be fixated in our heart to seek after God. Proverbs 19:27 reminds us, if you stop listening to correction, my son, you will stray from the words of knowledge. You see, the psalmist here, he knows that it's easier to make a promise to God than it is to keep it. It's easier to say, God, I'm gonna keep your word. It's another thing to do it. I will seek the Lord with my whole heart, but I recognize that I need his help to succeed. Spurgeon again, I reference him a second time this evening. He says, the man of God exerts himself, but does not trust himself. He knows that even his whole strength is not enough to keep him right, unless his king shall be his keeper, and he who made the command shall make him constant in obeying them. It is so much harder to wander from the Lord's commands when you are seeking him with your whole heart. And when you're going, you really, Lord, I want you. I want to be with you. I want to follow you. And you're striving for it. It's very hard to wander off when you're focused on that prize. I didn't have this in my notes. Here's extra for you. Just popped in my head. My dad taught me young to push a lawnmower. And I remember the first times we did it, and I've worked with my boys as they're starting to learn to push and mow the lawn, is it don't just sit there and look down. You find a point and you go towards it, and you'll keep a straight line. The first several times, it's like this, and there's little patches. But as you start to learn, then you get a straight line, and you can keep the nice rows. You know, fixate on the Lord, and you can walk and not wander astray. Thirdly, we talked about iniquity, the concern for iniquity. In verse 11, the answer to it, he says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible. I don't know about you. I still like the King James on this one. It's how I've memorized it. I'm guessing everybody in here, you know it better this way. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, there's just some beauty in that one, isn't there? But I believe a whole different version from what I read and what I just quoted perhaps captures it best. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. That which you treasure most, that which you keep near, if you think about it, if it's a treasure, you know where it's at. You keep it in a safe place. Hey, you know, you often are going back and checking that. Is it still there? Oh, it's still there. Did anybody take? Nobody took it. It means that much to you. You keep it near. You know it well. I remember Cameron as a toddler. He had this monkey. He loved this monkey. And one day he lost it. And we said, you know what? We're going to buy him a new one. As soon as we bought him a new one, we found the old one. He loved them both. But you know what? Cameron always knew which one was the first one. He never forgot which one was the first one. That first one was called Stinky Monkey. All right? The new one was called Clean Monkey. Even if it wasn't stinky, it was clean. They were both clean. It was Stinky Monkey and Clean Monkey. But he always knew which one was the first one. That one was always his favorite. He never liked that one. If he was going to go to sleep, he had to have that one. He had to have Stinky Monkey. He always knew the difference because it was his most treasured possession. The psalmist knows that's the key to a pure life and a pure heart. To be made clean is by the Word of God. The Word of God that you keep it close at hand. The Word of God that is your counselor, that's used whenever you need it. Anytime you need it, when you're going to wander, when you're tempted to sin, when you're concerned about purity, it's right there ready for you. Like the psalmist, we must desire to live a pure and holy life before God. Be concerned about your tendency to sin, but know that God gives answers in his word. Secondly, tonight, that was all the first point, was the concern. Now we're going to look at his desire. And look at in verse 12, it's his desire. It says, let's go. It says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Really, the second thing is, we see the value to learn God's word, to learn it. Hey, verse 12 is really, it's nothing more than a call for discipleship. He begins, he's praising God. He says, blessed are you, O Lord. And then he moves to desire instructions from God. But really, this is going all the way back to that first stanza. In first stanza, if you go back to verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek them with their whole heart. And it also talks about being steadfast. He's looking back and saying, you know, God is happy in holiness. God is blessed. God is happy. And surely then, wouldn't God be willing to share that blessedness with others? He's looking to say, who is it that is blameless? Who is it? Those who are happy are those who follow the Lord, who listen to him, who obey him, who walk like him. And he's saying, Lord, as a result, you must be blessed. You're happy. And he wants to be happy. And so he asks, Lord, teach me your statutes. Lord, I want to be happy. I want to be blessed. He thinks so highly of God, he desires to be taught by him. And doesn't that just make sense? If God's word is the answer to living pure, holy lives, then shouldn't we be desiring to learn more and more and more? If that's the answer, you should want more of it. I'm always amazed at professors and pastors who know so much more than I do, always have, and constantly you find out they're still reading. They're still learning. They keep saying, I'm learning more, I'm understanding more and more about God's word. Friend, if you love God's word and you truly want it, you're going to constantly want to receive more. Thirdly, I want you to notice the psalmist in his satisfaction in verse 13 to 14. He says, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth, in the way of your testimony as I delight, as much as in all riches. Several things, you see that he is satisfied with God's word. First, he proclaims it. He really, by proclaiming it, it's a sense of duty. It's my joy, it's my delight to declare all that I have learned. As Spurgeon once rightly said, by teaching we learn, by training the tongue, the holy speech, we master the whole body, and thus in a threefold manner, our way is cleansed by proclaiming the way of the Lord. One of my favorite things to do is to preach and to teach. I just enjoy it. I love it. I'm always nervous, but I still love it. But what I enjoy the most about doing all of this is that as I prepare to preach or teach is when I start to learn and understand and grow more and more. Sometimes in my office, I can be sitting there and I find myself praying, crying, just being moved even more so than I often do when I'm delivering to you, because it's impacting me as I prepare to teach it. One time I was on the phone with my dad, and we were talking about this, and my mom always taught the ladies' Sunday school class. My dad always taught a Sunday school class, and my dad had said, Matt, you know why we always did it? Because we found we learned so much more by preparing to teach others. Friends, I'm not saying that you're going to be a teacher. I'm not saying that you have to all of a sudden say, you know what, I love God's word. Can I come and be a Sunday school teacher? And can I speak for a ladies' conference or at a men's breakfast? I'm not saying any of that. Here's what I am saying. You can still proclaim what you are learning about in God's word. Is there a desire to share with others what you have learned? You don't have to write a book. But you can share what you've learned in your devotions. You can share what you got out of the message. You can share and say, you know what? In Sunday school, my teacher talked about this, and wow, what a difference. Can you imagine in church if we came in and we talked more and more and more about what we've been learning in God's word and what God's been doing than the sports event that we just had? Hey, I know I'm guilty of that. I like talking about sports. Can you imagine if our church, though, you would hear more and more saying, guess what I learned this week in my devotions? You know what I you know what really impacted me about the message this morning? You see, don't just learn things, proclaim it. Share with others what you're learning. And then secondly, rejoice in it. He says and in verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. And really, it's a sound of celebration that's ringing out. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 1:2, and it anticipates what we'll find later in the psalm. Later in Psalm 119, in verse 72, it says, instruction from your lips is better for me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And later on in verse 127, it says, therefore, I love your commands above gold, above fine gold. He's saying it's so much more valuable. The one who allows the Lord to be his teacher rejoices in receiving the revelations of God. How much does he rejoice? He says, he declares as much as in all riches. In other words, he's saying, I can't put a price tag on it. I can't give you a value. It is so much. Everything else, all the riches of this world, they pale in comparison. They are nothing. My treasure is God, not gold. My treasure is hearing from him the eternal worth, not temporal. Really, if you think about it, you go back to verse 11. We talked about, I've stored up your word in my heart. I've treasured in our heart. And you know, we treasure what we delight in. A man will proclaim and talk about the things that he loves and that he desires. And so the psalmist here, he's saying, in verse 13, and this, or verse 14, and these are the things I delight in is your word. I love it. I celebrate when I receive it. And so then in these last couple of verses, we move on to our last part where we see what is his plan. If he's satisfied in God's word, he wants to remain pure. And now we're going to see what is his plan. In verse 15, we see that his plan is meditation. He says, I will meditate on your precepts. And don't just read it. Go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Really, as the saying would go, chew on it a little bit. You know, just think it over. Take some time asking that questions. It's like that good stick of beef jerky that takes a while to chew. Just enjoy it. Suck on that flavor. Really contemplate. Boy, that's some good stuff there. Chew on it. Meditate on it. And meditation has the idea of a thoughtful concentration on God's word. It may be talking. It may be singing about it. It may just be thinking it over in your head. It's like the man who just bought his dream car. There's a meme out there showing this man. He bought his new car, and he just keeps going out there with a bag of chips just staring at his car. You know, he's just thinking about it, enjoying the fine craftsmanship of it. He's so enamored with it. That's kind of what we see here. Soak it up. Consider all there is to learn about it. Oh, to have a love for God's word like that. Secondly, also of his plan, he says in verse 15, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. It's really an examination. Regard your ways, O Lord. Really, it's thinking to understand the ways of God. Like that bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Fix on it. Lord, what would you do? What would you have me to do? It's trying to think, God, how should I act? What would you expect of me? If you want to be pure like God, you need to think and act like God. Now, I know that we can't. We are given the mind of Christ, but we still have sin nature. But boy, we sure should be trying to think like God, know his ways, and then walk in them. Thirdly, also, in verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. It's an adoration, delighting in his statutes. James Boyce says of the word delight in verse 16 carries the idea of a settled pleasure. Delight is followed meditation, which followed treasuring God's word more than riches. And God, in other words, God's word to me is a blessing, not a burden. When God's word says, do this, and do this, or if it says don't do this, friends, that is not a burden, it is a blessing. God, you gave me the answer. I know exactly what to do. It is my drink, it is my food, it is my life. It's my happiness and my joy. And then finally, and it says, I will not forget your word. You know what that is? That's memorization. Now, I think I'm the second youngest in this room. If I'm not, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I think I'm the second youngest in this room. I can tell you, the older I get, the harder it gets to memorize Scripture. I used to be like my son Gavin. I could just memorize Scripture. It's not that easy anymore. And yet, there's still value in memorizing Scripture. Maybe it's you memorize one verse a month. Maybe you say, I can do a week, Pastor. I can memorize a little more. There's value in memorizing His Scripture. Hey, God's Word is my delight. I will not forget it. After all, as Van Gemeren said, love for God's Word is love for God. To honor and fulfill this pledge, it must be a practical application of it. I will try to know your word, to memorize your word. Here's some ideas. How can you do that? Maybe it's carrying His Bible with you. You know, it's pretty easy now. Smartphones, you can get the Bible app on here. You can carry the Bible with you. It's right there for you. I'm reading my Bible. I'm studying my Bible. I'm meditating on Scripture. I'm loving my Bible. I'm sharing what I am learning. I am thanking God for my Bible. You know, when you don't forget the Word, it's just become a part of your life. It's right there with you. You carry it. You memorize it. You learn it. You're in it. This stanza here, Beth, the Beth stanza, it has to do with keeping our lives pure by avoiding sin, which is done by knowing the Word of God so well that it's in your mind, that it's going to correct you in your walk, that it's going to guide your steps. But it's not, in order for that to happen, guess what? You need to treasure it. It needs to be the delight of your heart. It needs to be something that you want and you say, this is so valuable to me. It is rich. The Lord is the teacher, and His Word is our lesson book. And you can live a pure life when you learn to love His Word. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You today just seeing the wonderfulness of Your Word, Lord. That if I would love it, as I love many things, Lord, You've seen in my life, if I would love Your Word like I do sports or video games, Lord, what a change it would have in my steps and my walk. Lord, help us to meditate on Your Word, to memorize it, to spend time in it, to treasure it. Let us consider, when we make decisions, consider, does Your Word speak on this? Let us consider, Lord, our actions before others. What does the Bible say? Does it give me clues how to treat others, Lord? Your word can guard our steps and keep us living a pure and holy life. Help us to love it, treasure it, guard it, and keep it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to go through. If